Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, earned a Doctor of Medicine from Wayne State University Medical School. Since 2004, he's been the executive servant leader at J&B Medical, which is a global healthcare consortium consisting of 18 business enterprises and serves customers in 48 states and 28 countries. Also, since 2017, he's been the managing director of Acad Holdings. A modern-day renaissance man, his name, Dr. Stephen Scher. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything is Possible, and we're talking to Dr. Stephen Scher, the managing director of Acad Holdings. Stephen, welcome. An honor to have you.
The honor is mine, Jack. Thank you for having me today.
Let's start talking about your parents and your childhood, please.
So both my mom and dad came from Iraq. We're Iraqi Christians. In 1966, they came independently the same year. My mother was one of 11 children. My grandmother was a midwife, and she delivered thousands of babies during her time in this small enclave in Iraq. Many times she didn't get any monetary compensation, but she would barter and do favors. When the 11th child was in utero, her husband passed away in a hunting accident. So she raised 11 children on her own. I have three, and I'm often sucking wind, so...
But you, Samantha's doing the raising, so...
This is true. But my grandmother was always had such joy in service. She had such joy in giving. And my father was also part of an equally large family. They literally came here with everything they had on them. My grandmother sold all their furniture, and they bought gold, and all of her children were wearing gold bangles when they came to the United States, which they ultimately sold and used to get their lives started here in the U.S. And my father also came from an equally humble background and beginning, leaving Iraq in his early 20s, and he came the first day he got here, he got three jobs. And he started working and going to school at University of Michigan. We come from very humble beginnings, Jack. We're rich in family, rich in spirit, and we always ate well, fortunately or unfortunately. But both my father and my grandmother were people of service. They were people of God, people of faith.
What's the biggest thing you've learned from Mom? And we lost Dad 2 years ago almost. What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
From my father, he had a strong sense of what was right and wrong, of what was black and white. And he was always someone that, you know, it wasn't gray. You know, it was either right or wrong. And he wasn't afraid to make decisions. And a lot of times the decisions he made were wrong. And I used to ask him, I said, Dad, you know, you're making this decision so quickly. He's like, well, if it's the wrong decision, I can go back and I'll know it sooner. So my dad wasn't afraid to make a decision. My mom has always been someone that really believed in service. I think she got that from her mother. And there's always been a lot of joy in my family in giving and helping and serving. And there's a strong sense of responsibility. We realized that we were stewards of the blessings.
When did you realize I wanted to become a doctor?
I can't tell you how many times people would come up to me and say, do you know your grandmother delivered us? And there literally, she delivered thousands of babies. She was, you know, back in those days, they didn't, you know, in their small village in Telkeapa, they didn't have hospitals. They had some sort of medical care, but fairly limited relative to today. And so many people came to me, and she reached and touched so many people. She gave, you know, literally life to people. And that, and she got such joy out of it. And it's something that I think I always appreciated. And I also delivered over 100 babies in my career, albeit my wife didn't want me to deliver our babies, probably for very good reason. So that's when, you know, just being around my grandmother and being around folks that she delivered really, you know, touched me.
All right. You've delivered over 100 births. Talk to us about the miracle of birth.
Jack, the first time I delivered a baby, the second time, the third time, I was in tears. I had never actually seen childbirth till I was a medical student. And it just, it's something that, you know, and seeing how it touched the parents and the grandparents, and it was very emotional for me. And it took a lot for me to not be in tears every time a baby was delivered. So it's something that I got great joy from.
When you deliver a baby and then you give that baby to its mother, what does the mother's eyes say when you give her that new life?
To see the love, to see the joy, and to understand what the mother has gone through to bring forth this new life, this new being, it's indescribable. Words just don't do justice. But I just had children over the last 10 years, and understanding what unconditional love is. I have three children, Adele, Grayson, and Gavin, 9, 7, and 5. And you just don't appreciate your parents until you have children.
All right, speaking of not appreciating, talk to us about the job our nurses do today.
Again, talk about not being able to do justice. The nurses are literally heroes in our society. I'll tell you, when I was delivering babies, you know, the nurses would do probably 90% of the work, quite frankly. People don't realize the responsibility, the efforts, the toll that it takes to providing care, you know, one-on-one. And I really feel that our nurses are literally heroes in our society, definitely need to be recognized and appreciated more.
We're talking to Stephen Shea. Mom and Dad started a little business called J&B Medical, 1996. When we come back, we're going to talk about J&B Medical. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula. We're with Dr. Stephen Shea, who is a global thought leader. Stephen, 1996, Mom and Dad start this place called J&B Medical. How did it come to be?
So my father and mother used to own a medical lab. They sold it in 1996. My father was retired for about 5 weeks, and he was told by my mother he needed to go do something. Couldn't get back into the lab business because of non-compete, restrictive covenants, and decided to get into medical supply business. So he had a 400-square facility in Southfield, Michigan, and he was able to parlay that into a global enterprise. It was really a journey of faith. I would say we had, we have more scars than stars, but my father was one of the most determined people you'll ever meet, and he just kept moving the business forward. So we're grateful for his legacy.
And 26 years later, it consists of 18 business enterprises, serves customers in 48 states, 28 countries. All right, 2004, you're 34 years old. You decide to quit practicing. Why?
So I'm 51 today. The only time in my 50 years that my father ever called and said that he needed me was in 2004. So I should have recorded that, Jack, for sure. But we were having some challenges. We had just taken on a couple large books of business. It was a big, big move, but difficult transition. And my father called me in 2004 and said, "Son, we need you." And so I didn't have a sense for how long or what it would encompass. But ever since that fateful call, I've been at J&B. So I guess life, you never know what to expect. I always thought, Jack, I'd be in a single shingle, practicing physician, delivering babies and helping families. So God had a plan.
All right. There's been a lot of cases where the son goes to work with the dad. He says, son, we need you. He said that once. How many times did you get fired, or how many times did you threaten to quit?
Well, I would get fired pretty regularly, usually at least every month. And threatening to quit didn't really work too well for me. So, but in a family business, my father was a very disciplined businessman. And I was always the dreamer pushing the envelope. Some days it worked better than others. I will tell you, the saving grace was having grandchildren. So when my daughter Adele was born 9 years ago, whenever I was in the doghouse, I would take her and the other grandchildren over. And that usually got me back. Not always, but it went a long way, Jack.
You were in the doghouse, but the grandkids could do no wrong.
They could do no wrong. In fact, my mother and father often said they wish they would have skipped straight to the grandchildren.
All right, your day will come. So since 2004, you've been the executive servant leader at J&B Medical. I've never heard a person say that that's the title. What do you mean by executive servant leader?
So the best way I like to describe J&B, it's a platform of purpose and possibilities. And we have a lot of different lines of business, but understanding that it's a very mission-driven, purposeful enterprise, and we're just stewards of the blessings, I think was very important. And I kind of went through different iterations of titles with chief medical officer and you know, other titles. But I thought that it would send a strong message to all the folks that I work with, both internally and externally, that J&B is really about service. It's really about mission. When people reach their health potential, they can reach their human potential. And so understanding that this was a platform that God gave us to go out and provide access to care. A lot of people say caring is sharing, but, you know, really felt that that was, you know, send a strong message that it wasn't so much the title that was the important thing. It was really the mission and the purpose.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Shea. If you're thinking about, wow, this man is well-spoken, great communicator, he's spoken all over the world, including the Vatican and the 2022 World Expo in Dubai, United Arab Emirates, Tall Cotton. And he's speaking with us this evening. All right, I quote you. I like to describe our thought process to date as being all steak, no sizzle.
So we are very, very Midwest in our values and our approach. My dad used to always call it Midwest sensibilities. Nobody was coming from a privileged position at J&B ever. I just shared with you, I used to get fired all the time. My brother and sister would get fired, but albeit not as often. But we really believed in the importance of a Midwest where people could see our values, see we're engaged, and be able to reach us any point on any matter. And we thought that was very important, that people understood that we rolled up our sleeves, we showed up every day, and we were accessible. And look, the world's getting more and more complicated, healthcare even more so. And I think it's very important people know that they could reach out to us. And it wasn't with a lot of fanfare. And it's just, if you want to know about authenticity, that was what my dad espoused. You know, nobody was perfect, but you know, be real and lay your cards face up and let's try to have honest communications to deal with some of the biggest challenges of the day.
If you want to learn more, www.jnbmedical.com. All right, one of the business enterprises is something called telehealth. What is telehealth?
So you bring a big smile to my face. I know we're on the radio, but hopefully everyone can see my smile. My father always thought telemedicine was a second coming, that you could be anywhere in the world and get access to care anytime, any place. Now, what was really funny about all this is my dad couldn't even turn his computer on and off. So the fact that he believed so passionately in technology and how it would change the world. So we have an entity called HNC Virtual Care Solutions, and we are literally providing access to care to people around the world, anytime, anywhere, any place. And my father's vision of you know, making healthcare more accessible to people around the world has been realized.
Hmm. All right. Let's go to 2017. You start Akkad Holdings. It's a family office. Tell us about Akkad Holdings.
We are Iraqi Christians, or Chaldeans, which again was a small enclave in Iraq. And the Akkadian Empire was the first empire of Mesopotamia. So when I was trying to come up with a name, I wanted to go back to our roots. And they were the great connectors of their time. The Phoenicians were part of that time, and they were seafarers. The Phoenicians provided the alphabet to the Greeks, which was the forerunner of our alphabet today. And the idea was to be very mission-driven, just like J&B. So the mantra of the family office is people, purpose, pay it forward. But the thesis was to invest in opportunities that could leverage J&B's global distribution channel. So we could make money on providing products and services to people around the world. Was there a way for us also to invest in these opportunities so we could realize part of the value that we created? So we've made numerous direct investments, and we've also invested with several platforms in the family office world.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Shea. As you can hear, he's a world-class connector. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Dr. Stephen Shea. Since 2017, he's been the managing director of Akkad Holdings. What are the key areas that you focus on, and why these?
Well, J&B has global distribution channels. As you mentioned, we have channels around the world. So a big focus for the investments around Akkad have been around diagnostics, things that could advance diagnosing various healthcare conditions, healthcare services, extending the reach, and also a variety of different supply chain solutions. What does that mean? Well, in the last couple of years with the pandemic and now with all the geopolitical issues in Ukraine, there's been a lot of challenges in the global supply chain. So we have been investing in places that could help streamline some of those supply chain challenges globally. Big focus on medical, but now in other areas.
You devote a tremendous amount of your time and resources to philanthropic causes. Why?
I think it goes back to my father and my grandmother. Again, they had such joy in giving. They also spent, you know, the vast majority of their lives in healthcare. And as I said earlier, we truly believe when people reach their health potential, they reach their human potential. And then the other thing I have to mention, Jack, that we've been able to provide access to care in some of the most remote, rural, undeveloped areas around the world. I'll give you an example. We had a project going on in Pakistan where we're taking care of a huge population of patients. Many of these mothers never had access to prenatal care. So just by using telemedicine and in an innovative approach, we were using satellites for connectivity, solar panels for power, we were able to provide access to care. And by doing this, we help build bridges across a lot of divides. You know, Jack, our world is very, you know, there's a lot of divisions today, religiously, culturally, socioeconomically, but providing access to care, I've seen on my journey that it's helped build these bridges that other things can't. And our world needs these. When people know that you're providing them things that are going to help make their life better, particularly around mothers and children. There's a lot of data that shows that that can really change the whole paradigm.
I quote Stephen now, "God put me on earth to be a catalyst for healthcare." And boy, you're doing that. So as you're talking to people, you know, some very famous, some very poor, what do they say about America and its people?
Well, I will tell you that when they are part of some of these programs that I was talking about, their view changes. You know, I think there's a lot of misconceptions in the world. We have all this technology, and technologically, we're more connected than we've ever been, but we're also farther apart. People don't talk anymore. Everything's a social media blip and a text. And I mean, I know people that their whole dating scene is some text and emails and social media. And I think that, you know, these programs, when you put the human back into humanity, I think these are the type of things that really can move the needle. And there's a lot of misunderstandings out there. And unfortunately, information today can and has been weaponized by key constituencies around the world to turn people against other people. And I think we need to use these advances to bring people together and to show that you know, people do care, regardless of your race, religion, creed, economic status. And I think there's a lot of opportunities like that. And healthcare is the platform God gave us to hopefully connect as many dots and bring as many people together. You know, someone said once, you know, we rise by lifting, you know, others up. And I truly passionately believe that. And I know my father did as well.
Speaking of bringing people together, God brought you a lady, Dr. Robin Smith, Jewish lady from New York City, who had started something called the CURA, C-U-R-A Foundation. If you want to learn more about it, www.thecuracurafoundation.org. Tell us about Robin Smith and the CURA Foundation.
Wow, what an amazing, amazing person. She had health issues. She needed stem cells. One of the impediments for her to get stem cells was some of the doctrine from the Catholic Church. So as a Jewish woman, she goes to the Catholic Church and says, we need to have a convening, a discussion. We need to bring people together to talk about this and help provide education and understanding. So she started this over 10 years ago. I've had the honor and privilege of participating in her last couple events, and they get Nobel Prize laureates, philanthropists, thought leaders, entertainers, I mean, change makers. And it's probably the best event that I have the honor of attending. Of course, doing it at the Vatican is always special. And have had the honor and privilege of meeting the Holy Father through that as well, as has my family. So it's a very special opportunity for people to come together, and everyone checks their ego at the door. And it's really where people are talking about how to elevate humanity. It's a very unique experience, and Robin has just done an amazing job, and she's a very, very dear friend. And we are exploring a lot of collaborations on how to advance the platform. Let me just say one other thing, Jack. The Catholic Church, I'm Catholic. I was brought up Catholic. The Catholic Church has a lot of issues. But nobody houses, clothes, feeds, educates, or provides more healthcare globally than the Catholic Church. So there's a lot of, you know, things the Catholic Church does well that the story does not get out. So I also, being Catholic, it's kind of special to be connected in a way and hopefully get out some of the good things that happen.
I think one out of four hospital beds in America is the Catholic hospital.
Exactly. I was on the board of Ascension Health here in Michigan. They had an East region and West region. I was in the West region. Again, the reach of some of these Catholic-led entities, which serves people from all religions, walks of life, is a lot more than many may realize.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Chea since 2004. He's been the executive servant leader at J&B Medical. All right, paint for us a picture of healthcare technology in 2030.
Well, a lot of people don't realize, Jack, that U.S. healthcare is the fourth largest economy in the world today. Economy. And it's going to be the third largest economy in the next few years. So U.S. healthcare in its own right is a massive economy in its own. People ask me, well, where do you think U.S. healthcare is today? I always compare it to the financial industry. Financial industry started with the Federal Reserve, then it went to the bank branches, then it went to ATMs. Now people take pictures of their checks and can do their banking. U.S. healthcare today is probably, depending on who you talk to, anywhere from 3 to 10 years behind other industries like the financial industry. I do think that healthcare and technology are going to be two very strong themes in the next 5 to 7 years. I do think that ultimately healthcare is going to be healthcare on demand. Just like when you order products to your homes via Amazon, you can order a rental car, you can order groceries. I think healthcare ultimately will also get there. And it's going to be, technology is going to drive it, but it's going to be more of truly healthcare on demand. I think there's a lot of changes. One of the silver linings of the pandemic is more and more people, patients, providers, and payers embraced technology, embraced virtual care. And I think there's a lot of momentum in that direction.
One more trend I've read about is something called aging in place.
Mm-hmm. So the demographics, we have more people over the age of 65 today than under 21. And that's a trend in many places around the globe, Japan, China. And we just don't have enough resources to house elderly people in these kind of special housing. So people are living longer. You can argue whether the healthcare is improving, but more and more people living at home, you know, and successfully aging is going to be a bigger and bigger and bigger theme. I think technology is going to play a much bigger role in this. And more the elderly are becoming more technology savvy. Interesting statistic. The fastest growing area on Facebook is people over the age of 65. That's the fastest growing area, Jack. So more and more with the embracing of technology, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities to people stay in their home. They're going to live longer and hopefully maintain a high quality of life.
We're talking to Dr. Stephen Chao, a global thought leader. And I'm Jack Rasool, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasool. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Dr. Stephen Chao, who has spoken all over the world, including the Vatican and the 2022 World Expo in Dubai, United Arab Emirates. Speaking of which, 50 years ago, when you were born, the UAE Dubai was just a big sandbox. Now it's unbelievable. Tell us about the UAE, its people, and the transformation.
So having Middle Eastern roots, we've always wanted to do business in the Middle East. And my father always had a very global view of the world. We kind of put our toe in the water over many years, never quite found the right situation for a variety of reasons. But Dubai really has become a place where East meets West. It used to be Hong Kong. Now it's really Dubai and Singapore. And Dubai is just on fire. They, for a lot of reasons. Number one, tax-wise, it's a very good jurisdiction. Number two, they don't they don't play favorites with anyone. Everyone is welcome to be there, which sometimes presents some challenges for U.S. citizens, but it's very welcoming to all folks. Number three, they're very business friendly, very collaborative. Number four, labor's is relatively cheap there. Number five, energy is very cheap there. And number six, I think the biggest thing is with the geopolitical challenges around places like China, I think Dubai has been the number one beneficiary. You know, it's very difficult to do business in China these days. Many people will attest to it. And for a variety of reasons, not making a judgment or a commentary, it's just a reality. So people are looking for other jurisdictions to operate in. And when you look at the medical field, you say, wow, 70% of medical products are petroleum-based. Who has the cheapest raw materials, petroleum raw materials in the world? It's in the Middle East. When you look and you say that they're also work with you to put up manufacturing, Dubai is 8 hours flight from 80% of the world's population. I mean, there's just a lot of different factors. And they have a leadership there that's really very pro-business and really investing in, you know, global collaboration. So from a healthcare perspective, it made a lot of sense. We formed a partnership. The family office formed a partnership with the Emirates Specialized Trading Group, and that took a while to get through all the approvals. But we're very, very excited, and there's been a lot of opportunities created, particularly around the geopolitical challenges around global supply chain issues. So,
anybody that's seen pictures of Dubai, the architecture, you've been there many times. From your eyes, paint us a picture of Dubai.
Well, let me describe some of the interesting things about Dubai. I mean, everyone thinks about the tall buildings and the incredible cars and all the glamorous people that go there. But there's certain things people don't know about. So, for example, do you realize Dubai has a Minister of Happiness? Who would think of that? And the Minister of Happiness was also Her Excellency Reem Al-Hashimi was a person in charge of the World Expo in Dubai. But they are doing things like building trails for biking and walking and many other health and wellness type programs. Do you realize they have the Ministry of the Impossible there? They're investing in things that people think are impossible today. Dubai, when you meet the leadership of Dubai, they are constantly trying to raise the bar. It's a mentality that goes from the leadership, His Excellency Sheikh Mohammed, to his ministers, to the families, to the investors, to the people. Dubai wants to be on the cutting edge of just about everything you can imagine. So, yes, they have amazing buildings and amazing food, incredible culture, and the place like the Miracle Gardens and many, many other things. But really what's the most impressive thing to me today is Dubai views itself as the epicenter where East meets West, regardless of where you come from, regardless of who you are. The door is open to do business.
I've often said that in today's world, you have to keep earning while you're learning. You're very bright, but you are a world-class, eternal learner. You're always trying to learn from anybody and everybody. Why?
If you're not growing, you're dying. My dad always used to say that. In Proverbs in the Bible, it says, iron sharpens iron. I always have felt that I tried to meet smart, thoughtful people like yourself, Jack, and you're great at asking questions and being thought-provoking. An area that I've learned a lot from, I've been very active in the family office world, so meeting a lot of families that have started businesses and enterprises over the years has taught me a lot as well. But I think the more you learn in life, the more you realize you don't know, and so just constantly asking questions. The amount of velocity of information today is breathtaking. So you just constantly to try to keep up, you know, try to read as much as I can, talk to people. But the best way I learn is to travel to places and experience.
You mentioned that in Dubai, they got the Minister of the Impossible. If America ever decides to have an Ambassador of the Impossible, you could be that person. You're very positive. You're a can-do. You're a tremendous optimist. That's like a peach in an apple orchard today. so many of us are fearful, you know, et cetera. How do I get to be so positive?
I think it's a gift of faith. I think that you have to surround yourself with friends and family that want to support, that you're all trying to learn. We're divine beings on a human journey. And Jack, you know I like quotes, so I can't have a show today and not have one quote. So I was praying over a quote today, but Walt Whitman said, you should always keep your face to the sunshine and the shadows will fall behind. And so I truly believe that, you know, keep going, you know, life is not easy, but you just got to keep moving forward and you're going to learn a lot along the way. I'll tell you, at this point, I have more scars than stars. I've made more mistakes, have more failures than successes, but every time, every failure has set me up for a success. I truly believe that.
All right, another quote. Let's talk about giving back. Another quote from you is, everyone can do something. Really?
Jack, everyone can do something. Not everything is in the headlines. Not everyone is meant to put their name on a building or do, you know, things. Sometimes it's just, it's like the nurses every day. You talk about the nurses. Look at how much love and compassion. Look at the police officers keeping us safe. Look at the teachers, you know, teaching the next generation. Everyone has their calling. And there, another quote, Mother Teresa, there are no great things, only small things with great love. And if we follow Mother Teresa's guidance, our world would be such a better place.
Quickly, as our time winds down, what advice do you give to our young listeners tonight?
If you chase your passion, you find your purpose. You know, don't settle. Chase your passion. Chase the things that excite you, ignite you. I believe that those things are things from God, you know, because I look at the world from from faith, but everyone's got a different view. But when you chase the things that energize you and excite you, you'll find your purpose. And that God-given purpose can change the world.
We lost Dad almost 2 years ago, but he's up in heaven looking down and he's saying, friends, that's my son. That's my son. That's why I hired him.
Well, I will say this. There's a lot of legends in the cemetery, very few legacies. And my father's legacy is really, you know, he had a great family. And he really, you know, left a lot of love and respect in this world.
Thank you. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spawn.